Welcome back, everybody. This is Food for Thought, Thoughts If It Were You, and this is your host, Neo Gentrix. Welcome back, everybody. This is Season 2. It is 2021. Now, I've been around for a while. I haven't been able to upload a lot of episodes like I initially wanted to last year. But, I mean, there was so much going on. There's a lot of debate. Hell, everyone was even worried about who was going to be the president. And I must admit, that was definitely an issue at some point. But, with that being said, now, of course we have a new president, it's Joe Biden, but what can we do? That hasn't stopped me in the slightest. I am still going to go about giving y'all the same information, the same historical context, the same stuff that you have expected from me for the last 2 to 3 years. And on top of that, my channel for my retro gaming will be starting back up this year as well, not to mention all my books. So, as my books come out, I will be giving more information, more details on those moving forward. Now, let's go ahead and go into today's topic of discussion that I wish to cover. And the topic is fiction, or rather fiction stories as a whole. Okay? So, first question is, what is fiction? What defines the terms of fiction as a whole as far as stories go? Fiction stories are generally a narrative form in any medium consisting of people, events, places, but mostly stuff that's imaginary. In other words, they're not strictly based on historical accuracy or fact. In its most narrow usage, it's essentially fiction refers to written narratives in a prose or specifically in novels or novels or short stories, things that people tend to write that are shorter than an average book. More broadly, though, fiction has come to essentially encompass the imaginary expression of any form, included but not, you know, limited to just writings, but also live theatrical performances such as films, TV programs, dramas, radio dramas, comics, role-playing, and even video games. The whole encompassness of fiction is the whole theme of your imagination, which brings out its definition. The work of fiction implies the inventive construction of an imaginary world, and most commonly its fictionality is publicly acknowledged. So its audience typically expects to deviate from in some way or somehow from the real world, rather than presenting only characters who actually exist or portray them as factually true. Okay? But you still have to make it somewhat believable, so keep that in mind. Fiction is generally understood as not adhering to the real world, which consequently leaves its themes and its context, such as if how it relates to the real world or real issues, open to various interpretations. Like, you can think of it however you want. This is how most of my stories are written. Characters, events within fictional works may even exist in their own context, entirely separate from the known physical universe, or an independent fictional universe that you've created. Most of the stories that I write, that's their context. In contrast, you know, to fiction, it is a traditional opposite, nonfiction, in which the creator assumes responsibility for presenting only the historical and factual truth. But I'm not covering nonfiction today. Okay, so, but despite the usual distinction between fiction and nonfiction, some modern works blur that boundary, particularly ones that fall under a certain experimental genre for storytelling, so, including postmodern fiction, autofiction, which is still fairly new even now, or creative nonfiction, with like nonfiction novels and docudramas, as well as literary frauds, which are falsely marked for some reason as nonfiction. None of those are nonfiction. All of those are fiction. But I digress. At any rate, Let me take a short break here real quick, clear my throat, and we'll go into the different formats, shall we? Alright, everybody, and we're back. So, in the last segment, we covered the essential definition of fiction and, you know, what it incorporates or portrays as fiction. And, you know, again, to sum it up in a nutshell, it's essentially an imaginary world of the construction of the creator, the person who came up with it, the person who designed it. They still have to give some truth, some historical facts and stuff to make it enough that it's believable. But it's understood that it's fiction and it's acknowledged as such. And in today's society, it's a lot easier to acknowledge a fictional world and believe that to be true than it is to acknowledge the real world. Though, at the moment, it may seem like nonfiction sells more, and a lot of people want to know what's going on lively, but there are actually way more people that are more interested in the fictional genre than there is nonfiction, because they know that, essentially, they've come to terms that reality sucks, it's not going to improve, and they don't like people. So, with that being said, fiction has basically spawned off into several different formats, including additional genres as well. And I'll cover some of those additional genres either later in this episode or in another. So, beginning with the formats, you know, traditional fiction includes, and I'm going to go ahead and list off some here, novels, short stories, fables, which I haven't seen very many of anymore, legends, myths, fairy tales, epics, and even narrative poetry. It still exists in plays, though they're not as common as they used to be, except during Shakespearean times and older 1900s eras going backwards to like the 18th or 17th century. This includes operas, musicals, dramas, puppet plays, which I don't remember the last time I've seen a puppet play, and various kinds of theatrical dances. Usually when I think of that, your first response would be to go to like some type of Asian theater. However, fiction may also encompass comic books and many other animated cartoons, stop motion, anime, manga, films, video games, and even radio programs, and some television programs as well, such as comedies and dramas. The list goes on, but that's just a light summary of everything. At any rate, the internet has had like this major impact on the creation and distribution of fiction. You can pretty much find it anywhere. You know, it calls into the question of the feasibility of copyright, which means, you know, the ability to earn royalties or even being paid as a copyright holder. But I mean, digital libraries such as Project Gutenberg make public domain texts like more readily available. So the combination of inexpensive home computers, internet, creativity of its users, I mean, it's led to new forms of fiction such as interactive computer games and even computer-generated comics, which, might I add, are not that much fun to read, but they're interesting nonetheless. There are countless forms for fan fiction which can be found online, which, you know, loyal followers of a specific fictional realm, region, genre, it's still typically fiction, but they create and distribute derivative stories from their original host, like their take on the whole thing or their possibility on the whole thing. You know, the internet is also used for like the development of like blog fiction, which is where a story is delivered through a blog, either as flash fiction or a serial blog, or even collaborative fiction, where a story is written sequentially, you know, by different authors, or the entire text can be revised by anyone, including Wikipedia. So, just something to keep in mind. There are different types of literary fiction, though that is considered the standard, and are distinguished by a relative length, and they include short fiction, which is basically the boundary between a long story and a novella, which is kind of vague, but the short stories are commonly fewer than 7,500 words or 7,500 words. It's a short story, so yeah. Then there's the novella, which I mentioned before. It's essentially a 17,500 word story to about 40,000 words at the most. A good example of stories like this would be Robert Louis's Robert Louis Stevenson's Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That came out in 1886, I do believe. And Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness. Now, that one came out in 1899. Still really, really good stories. They're considered novellas because they're over 17,500 words, but not quite 40,000 words. But they're clearly over the 7,500 word limit, so they're not a short story. And then you have the standard novels, which are over 40,000 words or more in length. Okay. So those are the general formats that fiction has essentially taken and examples of what they are. In the next piece, we're going to cover what genre fiction is and what it means and what it's broken down into. And then we'll follow that up with literary fiction and what it encompasses. Okay? All right, everybody, and we're back. So let's go ahead and discuss the genre of fiction now. Like I mentioned before, fiction is commonly broken down into a variety of different genres, you know, subsets of fiction, if you will, each differentiated by a particular unifying tone or style or setting, a set of narrative techniques like or archetypes or tropes or media content, or either popularity defined by a certain criterion that it follows. For example, science fiction. It predicts or supposes technology that are not, you know, based in the reality at the time of the work's creation. An example of that would be Jules Verne's novel From the Earth to the Moon. That was published in 1865, while in 1969, astronaut Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin became the first persons to land on the moon. Okay, the book came out before the initial attempt to reach the moon. So while that story had its set theme, when the actual thing occurred, there was some clear differences between the two. Then there's another category, historical fiction, which places imaginary characters into real historical events. In 1814, historical novel Waverley, Sir Walter Scott's fictional character, Edward Waverley, meets a figure from history, Bonnie Prince Charlie, and takes part in the Battle of the... What was it? Prestonpans, I think that's what it is. Some works of fiction are slightly or greatly reimagined based on some original true story or constructed biography. Often when fictional story is based on fact, there will be additions and subtractions from the true story to make it more interesting. And, you know, an example of this would be Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried, and it's a 1990 series of short stories about the Vietnam War. Super popular, by the way, but again, really, really good. Then there's the another fictional works that involve explicitly involve supernatural, magical, or scientific possibilities. Those are often classified under the genre of fantasy, including Lewis Carroll's 1864 novel, the fable, well-known Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, because everyone knows Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, or the more popular J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series, or J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. Those fall into the category of fantasy. Creators of fantasy sometimes introduce imaginary creatures, beings such as dragons and fairies, to help bring about what they're talking about. Now, the genre of fiction itself is a pretty big thing to cover, and like I said, it has many subgenres. And that's something that I'll have to come back to, because it's really in depth, and it covers more than the standard. So if I don't get to it in this episode, I'll definitely come back to it in another subsequent episode as a bonus. But genre fictions are known as popular fictions. It's a term used in the trade book a book trade, for fictional works written with the intent of fitting into a specific literary genre in order to appeal to readers and fans already familiar with that genre. There are a number of literary figures who have written written fiction in that type of genre. I named a few already. There are others like John Banville, who publishes crime novels as Benjamin Black, and both Doris Lessing and Margaret Atwood have written science fiction as well. Simenon, the creator of the Migrant Detective novels, they've done really, really well. And these genres that they write into are really, really popular. Now, before I end this and move forward with the rest of what fiction is, like I said, I'll come back and cover the genres of fiction. But the main genres of fiction are crime, fantasy, romance, science fiction, Western, inspirational, that's apparently fiction, historical fiction, and horror. Now, those I'll come back into cover more readily later, but I want to start off by at least introducing the whole continuity and genre of fiction as a whole. Now, more commercially oriented genre fiction has been dismissed by literary critics as poorly written, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still there. So, like I said, I'll come back and talk about the history of genres and all the different genres, but essentially right now I just want to cover, you know, what is fiction. Okay, there's not really much left there to cover as far as fiction is concerned, but we do have the next section that I would like to cover and get straight to the point. Now, literature as a whole is a whole nother topic, a whole nother debacle, something else to look into more depth. But one of the things I want to touch on in this episode that I may go into more detail later when I cover genre fiction is literary fiction. And that's a term used in the book trade to distinguish novels that are regarded as having, literary merit from most commercial or, as they claim, genre fiction. An example of what I'm talking about would be Neil Stephenson. He has suggested that while any definition would be simplistic, there is today a general culture difference between literary and genre fiction, apparently. On one hand, literary authors nowadays are frequently supported by patronage, which, with employment at a university or a similar institution. And with the continuation of such positions determined not by book sales, but by critical acclaim by other established literary authors and critics. On the other hand, he suggests that genre fiction writers tend to support themselves by book sales. However, in the interview with John Updike, he lamented that the category of literary fiction has sprung up recently to torment people like me who just set out to write books, and if anybody wanted to read them, terrific. The more the merrier. You know, I'm a genre writer of a sort. I write literary fiction, which is like spy fiction or chick lit. You know, likewise, on the Charlie Rose show, he argued that this term, when applied to his work, greatly limited him and his expectations of what might come of his writing. So he doesn't like it very much. I don't like it very much personally, because, you know, I'm a writer myself. I don't just do podcasts, you know. Again, additionally, he suggested that all his works are just literary, simply because they are written in words. And that's essentially what literary means, or literature as a whole. But society has started putting labels on everything, limiting, you know, what writers can do. It hasn't limited their creativity anything, but by putting a label on something and putting a certain fact to it, it has basically limited what they can do to put their writing into those said categories just so they can make money. You know, a lot of people like to write just to write, but they do need to make money off of it, otherwise they can't support themselves to do it, which is like us who make podcasts. So, essentially, literary fiction often involves social commentary, political criticisms, or reflection on the human condition. In general, it focuses on the introspective or in-depth character studies of interesting, complex, and developed characters. You know, this contrasts with the genre fiction where the plot is the central concern. But usually in literary fiction, the focus is on the inner story of the characters who drive the plot, with detailed motives to elicit emotional involvement in the reader. The style of literary fiction is often described as elegantly written, lyrical, and layered. And the tone of literary fiction can be darker than the general genre of fiction. While the pace of literary fiction may be slower than popular fiction, as Terence Raffley noted, literary fiction, by its nature, allows itself to dawdle, to linger on stray beauties even at the risk of losing its way. And, you know, he's right. But, you know, it's subject to personal thought, personal appearance, personal reference. It's up to you. You can see it kind of hit home with me even a little bit. But again, I mean, it's these limitations that makes it harder for us to write. We write because we like writing, and we know there are people out there that like listening or reading these authentic, realistic, newer type of stories. And by putting them into categories, yeah, people will tend to flock to more things of that category. But what if you write a story like me that's general fiction that fits into multiple categories? You can't simply just put it under one and be done with it, you know? That's it for that, guys. All we have left to cover is literary realism as far as fiction is concerned. And that'll be it. So we'll take a short break here, and then we'll get into it. Alright, everybody. Last but not least, realism. Literary realism. Well, that's a whole other ballgame right there. But realism in general, or realistic fiction. Let's go with that. That's the only thing left for us to cover. So let's go ahead and get into that. I'm going to try to simplify as much as I possibly can. So, realistic fiction, which typically involves a story whose basic setting, time, location, place in the real world, is real, and whose events could feasibly happen in a real life setting. Non-realistic fiction involves a story where the opposite is the case. So, often being set in an entirely imaginary universe or alternate history of the world, other than the currently understood as true, or some other non-existent location or time period. Sometimes even presenting impossible technology or defiance of the current understood laws of nature. However, all types of fiction arguably invite their audience to explore real ideas, issues, possibilities. Anything in an otherwise imaginary setting or using what is understood about reality to mentally construct something similar to reality, though still distinct from it in some way or another. In terms of traditional separation between fiction and nonfiction, the lines are now commonly understood as blurred. I think I mentioned that earlier, showing more of an overlap nowadays than mutual exclusion. So even fiction usually has elements of or grounding it to truth in some way or another. The distinction between the two may be best defined from the perspective of the audience, so it depends on the reader, according to whom a work is regarded as nonfiction. If its people, places, and events are all historical and factually real, while a work is regarded as fiction, if it deviates from reality in any of those areas, the distinction between fiction and nonfiction is further obscured, you know, by its understanding of the person reading it. On one hand, you know, that the truth can be presented through imaginary channels, constructions, while on the other hand, imagination can just as well bring about significant conclusions about what's true and its reality. So I can see how this would be an issue for some people, being able to essentially tell the difference between the two because it's so close. I mean, when cops and police officers look up possible scenarios when they're trying to come up with laws and regulations, they have to run through the possible scenario. Yeah, these scenarios are fiction, but the fact is that they're likely to happen. So they're realistic, just not possible at the moment, but entirely possible should the right situation occur. So can fiction be applied to reality? Yes, and that's the whole point of realistic fiction. Literary critic James Wood argued that fiction is both artifice and versatile. In other words, it means that it requires both creative invention as well as some acceptable degree of believability. A notion often encapsulated in the poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge's terms would be willing suspension of disbelief. Also creating the whole thought of, you know, like, it begs the question, do you believe me or not? By providing a situation that theoretically could happen and still founding it on some level of truth. Also, infinite fictional possibilities themselves signal the impossibility of fully knowing what reality it truly dictates on whether or not it is or not real. You know, it essentially demonstrates that there is no criterion to measure constructs of reality. I mean, if we want to talk about the whole outlines and defines of reality, that's a whole nother podcast right there. You know, the connotations of what is reality. But again, like I said, that's a whole nother thing right there in itself. So, realistic fiction. It's the only other part of this that I hadn't covered yet, but essentially it just talks about the whole thin line between what we know as true and what we know as false. So it's just something to keep in mind when looking into what kind of writing style you wish to have and what you wish to cover in the future. So I guess one thing I should definitely point out is that there is a difference, like I said before, between literary fiction and genre fiction, but I'll go into that more depth later. It's a whole that's a whole nother can of worms on its own. So, but again, I'd like to thank all you guys for listening and supporting my channel as always. I hope you all enjoy the rest of your day. Please be safe. If you wish to follow me and know more about what's going on or listen to more of my podcasts, check me out at recontowers.com. This is your host, Nia Gentrix, signing out. Enjoy the rest of your day.